On the record, good morning. It's 10 minutes past 9. In attendance are Representative Lynn, Representative Gruenberg, Representative Herron, Representative Ramirez, Representative Dahlstrom, Representative Holmes, and Representative Gatto. I thank members for convening so early. We are privileged to have Senator French with us again. Senator, our caucus went on and on and on and on last night.
All right.
And we have online with us Mr. Bullard from Ledge Legal, Chuck Dunnigan from the RDC, and Jerry Anderson available from APOC. We also want to thank Mr. Patassin for staying over with us, and also Patty Ware. Patty, we appreciate you being available every day for us. We have five amendments to cover this morning. We're going to proceed directly to amendment number five, which is Representative Lynn. Prior to that, Representative Gruenberg has asked to read something into the record. Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to say I would have voted differently if I had thought about it on amendment number three and the amendment to the amendment. I would have voted against the amendment to the amendment, and I would have voted for the amendment, and that would have deleted five and inserted three. I think three is the appropriate number, and I just wanted to put that on the record.
Well, so you voted against
amendment three.
Against amendment
three. And I should have voted for it. And
it was five contributors to three.
Yeah.
And you would have changed your vote to reflect three rather than five.
That's correct. I just like that to be on the record.
Understood. Thank you.
I don't want to bring it up and rescind and do that, but I
so
just
noted.
Want that to be on the record.
So noted. All right. So we have before us amendment number, I'm going to title this amendment number five. It is P.10. Representative Lynn, would you like to move P.10?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move P.10 as amendment number five, and at the appropriate time, I'll have an amendment to the amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'll object for discussion.
Representative Holmes objects. Representative Lynn, do you wish to speak to the amendment, or would you like to offer an amendment to the amendment?
Well, perhaps I can do both. This relates to time for filing, and it says not later than, if you go to the next word, it says 24 hours, and my amendment to the amendment would be to delete after 24 on line 17 and insert 48. In other words, it changes it from 24 hours to 48 hours in interest of assisting APOC and anybody else. Do you follow me?
Right. Not yet,
The underlying amendment, Mr. Chair, page 8, line 14 to 16.
Yes, sir.
And then if you go down, the underlying amendment reads, not later than, and my amendment to the amendment goes to line 17, and so 24 hours, you'd insert 48 hours.
48 hours. Okay, so there is an amendment to the amendment, seeing no objection. Amendment number five is the so amended to include lines
no end of it.
2 through 4 of the amendment, and then changing 24 to 48 on line 17.
That's correct.
So we have the amended amendment number five before us. Representative Lynn, would you like to speak to the amendment?
Well, mainly we took out some of the audio before. I don't know where that's going to go. So I think for sure we need to get a little more on the record here of when these expenditures are being made, and all of us as candidates and so on, we have to make these reports in a certain period of time, and this merely does that. I think it's interest of better disclosure.
Thank you. Representative Lynn, my recollection in conversation that we had yesterday from the bill sponsor was that in their research, they showed that most expenditures by small groups, not in television, but were in print and in radio. So a question for the bill sponsor is, this amendment, I assume, pertains to all forms of advertising, including those by small groups who don't use television so much, but use print and radio. Is that correct?
I would think so, but I don't know it makes much difference whether small or large. You know, most of us are, quote, small candidates, and we do these things.
Well, it makes a difference to the chairman, because anytime that we have an extra burden put on small boutique entities, I have no doubt that a large entity, whether it's a union or a large corporation or environmental group, can conform to the 24 or 48-hour rule. But I don't want to make villains out of kitchen table groups that it may be their first time contending with AIPOC rules. So as the chair, I'm going to oppose this amendment because I think it's too onerous on first-timers and something that is easily easily done by large entities that are comfortable with the AIPOC mechanics that govern election cycles.
So, Mr. Chair, I'm something of a small boutique candidate doing the last several days before the election, and I certain contributions I would get, I have to report within 24 hours, I think.
Thank you, Representative Lynn. You've run for office successfully 4 times at the State House level, and you've run for the U.S. Congress before that. So you are hardly a first-time kitchen table guy. You are much more accomplished than that, and I have no doubt that you could manage this provision. But my concern is that we will, I think I'll ask Mr. Patasson, the failure.
If you're in my district, you could vote for me. So.
If I lived in your district, it would be a privilege, and I would be able to retire from public service and would support you. Representative Lynn, thank you for the opportunity. Mr. Patasson, what would be the penalty for somebody who failed to conform to this provision?
Well, there would be a days out of compliance penalty, $50 a day, plus there would be they'd be working with AIPOC trying to rectify any situation. So if an ad were to go out into the marketplace and then there wasn't an expenditure report done, or even if it's in the marketplace, at the point that the expenditure is made or incurred, so even when you strike the deal to basically create the ad, it's not reported within 24 hours under the amendment, there's days out of compliance and there would be a fine of $50 a day, plus you'd be dealing with AIPOC and you would have essentially an administrative case if you wanted to.
I think we're all aware that the hammer that AIPOC really has is not the daily fine. It's being cited by AIPOC for a violation is where the hazard comes for a group that is out of conformity. And so, Mr. Patasson, if this were the first time that Representative Gatto, or rather Representative Carl Gatto and Lindsay Holmes and Nancy Dahlstrom as three activists who decided to be for or against an issue, they would have to conform to a 48-hour window for all reporting. So take me through that. So they decide that they're going to spend more than $500 because that's the threshold that we have for small entities. So they get together, they do a couple of bake sales and put in a couple of $100 each. So they're $200 each contributors. Those are the three largest contributors, or $200 each. And they've done a bake sale and raised another $400. They got $1,000, and they're going to go out and print cards and maybe buy some radio in the small market of Fairbanks a couple of days before an election cycle. What would happen to them?
And they make the disclosures not on time, is that
correct? Yeah, they violate the AIPOC rules.
Violate the AIPOC rules. Conceivably, somebody notices that they violate the AIPOC rules, which it's a complaint-driven world that AIPOC lives in, but if the issue is strong enough, yeah, there are people who will look at the disclosure requirements. They would call us and say, or call AIPOC, I'm the attorney, but they would call and ask, you know, where's the report? I want to see the report. And then if they hadn't filed the report by that time, AIPOC investigators or AIPOC staff would be contacting the group and trying to ascertain what they did and what the reporting requirements are, given whether it's a strong enough case to actually file a complaint. APOC staff, APOC commissioners have that ability, so.
Okay, are there questions? Representative Holmes?
Mr. Chairman, I was just wondering if we could bring Senator French up to the
table. Senator French, you're welcome to sit with us throughout, absolutely.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Hollis French, representing State Senate District M.
Welcome.
Mr. Chairman, I completely appreciate the motive behind the amendment, but I think if you'll keep in mind that the structure as it stands now requires 24-hour reporting within 10 days of an election, so that the closer you are to the sort of magical moment of decision-making, you'll have this information on a daily basis. Prior to that, you'd be reporting under the bill every 10 days, which I think on balance is a fair approach.
Thank you, Senator French. Representative Gatto?
Thank you. Boy, it's tough to remember all this stuff, but as you're in, let's see, you're in the last 10 days, and you're 3 days out, and somebody hands you some money, and you have a reporting requirement. It's 24 hours now, I believe.
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, that for a candidate taking a donation over $250, I believe the answer is yes.
24.
Yeah.
500.
And that has to be, Mr. Chair, on a form prescribed by the, so we've got to make sure we have a form as well as a reporting. You can't just ring them up or send them an email. Am I correct?
I'll defer to Mr. Patasson.
Again, whatever legislation's passed here, there are going to be forms that we are going to work.
Representative Grunberg?
Just by way of reference, as I recall, and Ms. Pearson has checked this, and Ms. Ware can also. As I understand it, Senator French, the 10-day rule for candidates, we don't have to report in 24 hours unless it's $500, right? It's double this. So this is even more strict than for candidates, I believe.
I'm getting hit, and I was like, it's 500. I could have been wrong. I thought it was 250.
It is 250. Oh, it's 250. Oh, okay. Ms. Ware says 250, so it's the same on this. Thank you.
Very good. Is there other discussion? Representative Holmes, is the objection maintained?
I am going to lift my objection, Mr. Chairman.
Right. I will object to the amended version of Amendment Number 5. Susan, will you take the roll, please?
Representative.
I'm sorry.
All right. So with that, Amendment Number 5 fails to pass the committee. Amendment Number 6 is P.20 by Ramirez. I move Amendment Number 6. Seeing no objection, Amendment Number.
I got it in before that. Yeah.
Whoa. Fastball. Good morning. I'm going to object for discussion only. I haven't read it yet.
Representative Gruenberg objects for the purposes of discussion. Representative Gruenberg, Amendment Number 6, we discussed this, and it wasn't ready from the drafters yesterday prior to you joining us. And this simply takes the aggregate down to $50 a year to conform with contributions that must be disclosed by an independent candidate. If you recall, we can take up to $50 without having to disclose which information, the name and the address of the person. We still have to say the name, but not the address.
I'll remove my objection.
Thank you. The objection is removed. Seeing no other objection, Amendment Number 6 passes from committee. I move Amendment Number 7.
Mr. Chairman, I'll object for discussion.
Representative Holmes objects for the purposes of discussion. This takes us to page 8.
part is on line 6.
Where it says, from line 5, the person may select which of the contributors of equal amounts to identify under this section. And if you recall, we had the question come up of what happens. Committee. It takes us to P.22, which I'm going to title Amendment Number 8 by Representative Herron. Representative Herron, would you move Amendment Number 8, please?
I move Number 8.
Mr. Chairman, I object for discussion.
Representative Holmes objects for the purposes of discussion. We have paid Amendment Number 8, P.22, before us, which takes us to page 5 and page 6, line following line 7. Representative Herron.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this amendment would under 0515150 would allow a permittee to expend money to, for example, a political action committee. Political action committee. Again, I tried to contact Mr. Dosik on this point this morning. We thought there may have been an advisory opinion sometime in the last few years. I looked. I couldn't find exactly what it was, but I understand the effect of this would allow those who are permitted to basically overturn whatever that regulation was.
To overturn what?
To basically allow for the proceeds to be used for an independent expenditure. So that's...
Because APOC by regulation made this change, is that
correct?
I'm
not sure if it was by regulation or advisory opinion, but there is something that...
Either way, it wasn't the legislature that did this.
Correct.
This was by way of precisely my contention, because we've had various groups, union groups, politically active entities that have done this for years and years, and one day we woke up and... this was no longer available to us. Is that kind of the gist of what APOC did?
Again, I tried to find out exactly what happened there a few years ago. I can't give you a firm answer, but that's essentially something like that happened.
Is there a discussion? Representative Gatto?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, we spent so much time previously on Section 10, and which was problematic. We had Lorna call. This is the section that we want to approve. I'm not sure that it should go in Section 10. Let's need some help on this, but because Section 10 was so problematic.
I see. And that's the page 5, line 9?
Correct.
It's not in Section 10.
It's not in Section.
No. Oh, it's
above 10.
It would be a new section.
So it would be Section 11 when we were done?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
10 would be become 11.
And they tend to become 11.
Be renumbered accordingly.
Okay.
Is there further discussion? Is the objection maintained?
Mr. Chairman, I'll remove my objection.
Okay. So without objection, Amendment Number 8 passes from committee. It takes us to Amendment Number 9 by Representative Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move this as a conceptual amendment since I drafted it rather than the drafters.
Understood. So we have Amendment Number 9, conceptual amendment by Representative Holmes. I'll object for the purposes of discussion. Representative Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, I move Amendment Number 9. And what this does...
An objection.
I've already objected. Okay. We're rolling. Okay. We understand each other.
Yeah. We've got a system going. Mr. Chairman, this amendment does two things. Significantly shortens the audio disclaimer, and I'll explain that in a second. And what it does is it puts the disclaimer language back in television as well as radio, but it significantly shortens it. Currently, as written, it will require me session was paid for by Group X. I'm Lindsay Holmes, president of Group X, and I approve this message. The top contributors of Group X are A, B, and C. I think I actually would have an A plus in there, too. What this does is take out the whole middle section, which on your bill would be page 8, lines 8 and 9. It deletes those lines entirely. I would no longer have to say, I am Lindsay Holmes, president of Group X, and I approve this message. That language would be gone from both audio and TV disclaimers. It would also remove the requirement that I repeat the group's name twice. So instead of having to say, this communication was paid for Group X, the top contributors of Group X are, it would combine that into one sentence, removing the need to repeat the name twice. So it would just say, Mr. Chairman, this communication was paid for by Group X, Anchorage, Alaska, whose top contributors are A, B, and C. Which I think puts it a lot more in the realm, Mr. Chairman, of what we have to do as candidates, where I have to say paid for by Neighbors for Lindsay Holmes, Anchorage, Alaska. This puts these groups far more onto the same footing as us, significantly shortening the disclaimer. I have absolutely no interest in eating up time in anybody's radio or TV ads. I simply want the information out there. And like I said, it would also put it back into TV as well, but in a much shortened format, so that if you only have a 15 or 30 second, you have a very short disclaimer.
Thank you, Representative Holmes. Well, I love what you've done for radio. I think it's extremely positive, but I'm not interested in incorporating this back into TV. I'm happy that we were able to delete time because television time is so expensive and there's no other way in radio to convey information. So I think you've got a successful mechanism for radio and print, but I'm going to maintain my objection. Jane, I'm going to ask you to help me come up with language here in this amendment so that this is applicable to just the radio and print.
I'd be in agreement. I'd correct
to the amendment to the amendment. So let me take a brief of these so we'll figure out how to do that. I'm going to offer an amendment, amendment number 9, which is to delete 1 through 5 so that this is applicable and for all of the reasons that you just cited, far more appropriate for radio and far clearer, I think, for the listener, but eliminates and maintains the elimination on television.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to object to the amendment to the amendment.
Okay.
I was wondering if we could have the bill sponsor weigh in on both the.
We certainly can, and we have Jerry Anderson and Alpheus Boulevard and Chuck Dunnigan. If any of them want to weigh in, Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As to the applicability to radio, I think that in previous discussions there's been some sort of generic agreement that radio allows for more time for disclaimers. And so I appreciate Representative Holmes' position on that. But more, I think, and if I may just speak to the amendment.
Sure.
Thank you. In a more germane to the amendment, I think Representative Holmes has reminded us this morning that as candidates, we have to have audio disclaimers on our TV ads, whether we're well-funded candidates or kitchen table candidates. If we're going to be on TV, we have to say, paid for by Citizens for French, and give the address. And so I think, I guess I would urge the committee to keep all players on the same playing field, that is, with some audio disclaimer in their TV ads. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any other questions from the committee? Representative Herr?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the question is not solely directed to you, but I'll seek your advice, is though I live in an area where there is no opportunity to, or very limited opportunity to buy TV or radio ads, and, of course, everyone in the room has seen your ads for your establishment, but can you sort of explain to you, based upon this conversation we've had, the difference between a 30-second ad and a 60-second ad?
Representative Herron, I don't mean to be flippant, but a 60-second ad costs twice as much as a 30-second ad. I mean, this comes down to economics and things having value, and I will remind those members at this table who may or may not have been cited for an APOC violation when you filled out your APOC disclosure form. Those of you that used an office number, it was a thing of value. And so so APOC values your state of Alaska phone number in such a way that they cite that as a thing of value, which again is why I'm so fearful of ambiguity. And APOC, is it an alleged ethics violation? Oh, it's an ethics. Well, to me, they're the same. To me, they're
no, no.
Oh no.
No.
Don't go there.
It's a violation.
It's a violation. That's my point. Thank you very much. It's the low common denominator of a violation. And so, in the manner in which alleged ethics then calls it a thing of value, my concern is the value of time. The value of time is necessary on radio, and so if it takes, I don't know, Representative Holmes, if we use our egg timer, you certainly have cut the time down, but how many seconds is it?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if it's a corporation, it would be this communication was paid for by BPL Anchorage, Alaska.
Exactly. And so the large corporation isn't hampered, but if it's Carl Gatto, Lindsay Holmes, and Nancy Dahlstrom, who have set up a small entity, and we're right back to the issue that I have harped on since we first heard this bill, which is disclosure versus discourse, and a bias, I think, in that is embedded in this legislation. Good as it is, I appreciate the value in its construct against large entities, but I have been concerned since we first heard this bill that there is embedded bias against small groups that are taking a role as political activists and may be engaging in public discourse for the first time. So I don't think that BP of Alaska, who can afford to buy as many 30 or 60 second ads as they want to influence or sway an issue that's before us, is hampered. But I do think that the kitchen table group of Carl Gatto, Lindsay Holmes, and Nancy Dahlstrom are negatively impacted or adversely impacted by any kind of a large disclaimer that shows up on television, which is the most expensive medium to purchase in the marketplace of conveying ideas. So, with that, I'm going to hope that this amendment to the amendment passes. I think it is constructive for radio. I think what you've done is you've made radio far more valuable to the purchaser of that radio time. But I hope that the committee sees fit to maintain an objection or to pass the amendment to the amendment. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think that we should lose sight of what the amendment to the amendment is doing to the amendment. It's gutting the amendment. For the people who get television, which is almost everybody in this state, it will conceal the people who are doing the ads. And in these issues, we have, whether it's a mine or a natural resource or a cruise ship industry, or it could be for doctors or lawyers or anybody else, the amount that's at stake for the general public is far more than the tiny cost for these few words. But the disclosure of those few words may well make a difference to the voter. And there could be millions of dollars at stake. These are largely huge corporations or large outside interest groups. There may be very few that are small people, but you're throwing out the baby or the person with the bathwater here. And it's really serious when you do that, because it allows the voters to be misled.
Representative Grunberg, television is a visual medium.
That's right. I hadn't finished what I was going to say. And, you know, my turn.
Always.
Thank you. Now, there are also several groups that are really affected by this particular part of the bill. And I'm sorry I wasn't here yesterday, but we argued about this vigorously in the State Affairs Committee, and I put this on the record there, and I'd like to do it now. There are at least three groups that it's important that they hear the TV ad. Number one are the visually impaired, the blind, because they don't watch TV, they listen to TV. Mm-hmm. And that includes those of us who have to wear glasses
to see the fine print on TV. And I'm one of those, I don't usually wear my glasses, and sometimes I can't see it. So the way I get my information a lot in something like this is auditorily. And that's part of the people who need to listen and can't just see it. And secondly, the other group are the distracted people. A lot of us, when the ads come on, we get up to get ourselves a snack, and the ad was over, and then we got back. Remember the long game? That's what we do. We're not there watching TV during the ads. We're listening to it. And this will affect virtually everybody if they're not able to hear that disclosure. It's extremely serious what this amendment, the amendment does, and I'd hope you'd reconsider. This guts the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Gatto.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I think on every TV ad, there are two messages. The first one, which is the minor one, which is the ad. Second one is who paid for it. I think it's important, as Representative Gruenberg says, to have the most important part of the message clearer than the minor part. So I'm going to support him.
Any more discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Holmes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I think it's important that these groups, that some of which have not been able to play in this arena before, mm-hmm. are at least held to the same standard that candidates are held to. So I'm going to oppose the amendment.
Okay.
To the amendment.
Yeah. Representative Lynn.
In this situation, I just don't see any difference between the large player and the so-called mom and pop player. It just there's just no practical difference. If we keep talking about the poor little people and ignoring the fact that big players out there can not disclose as they ought to. So it's not just the big or the small, it's both.
Very well. Susan, we take a vote on the amendment to the amendment.
Representative Holmes.
I'm sorry, Susan.
No.
The amendment to the amendment deletes lines 1 through 5, thereby television over radio, so far as the disclosure.
Representative Holmes?
No.
Representative Dahlstrom?
Yes.
Representative Herron?
Yes.
Representative Gatto?
No.
Representative Lynn?
No.
Representative Gruenberg?
No.
Representative Brammers?
Yes.
3 yes, 4 no.
Thank you. So we are back to the original amendment. The amendment to the amendment has failed. Is there a discussion on amendment number 9? Who had the objection?
You did. I believe you did.
You did.
Yeah.
I will... So we now have an audio disclaimer for television for the top three contributors. Is that correct? The way
for
that
both
this amendment
TV,
reads.
For both TV and radio, Mr. Chairman.
All right. And who has the objection?
You did.
I will maintain the objection. Susan, will you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Representative Dahlstrom?
Yes.
Representative Herron?
No.
Representative Gatto?
Yes.
Representative Lynn?
Yes.
Representative Gruenberg?
Yes.
Representative Holmes?
Yes.
Representative Rammers?
No.
Representative Dahlstrom?
No.
4 yes, 3 no.
All right, so with that, amendment number 9 passes from committee. Do we have other amendments before the committee? Okay, it is 9:50. We're going to set this bill aside, and we are recessing to the call.